The portion of scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the 71st Psalm, reading various verses. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, now we don't know exactly who wrote this psalm, why it was written, and when. But this psalm kind of has the same thoughts and the same overarching theme that Psalm 70 has, the psalm right before it, and that psalm was written by David. This psalm also has many different phrases and words that are similar to other psalms written by David. The next psalm, Psalm 72, was written by David's son, Solomon. And since this psalm does talk about growing old, because it mentions gray hair and becoming weaker, many believe that David wrote this psalm toward the end of his life. This psalm is an appropriate prayer for Christians who are getting up there in age. But don't limit this psalm just to that. No, this psalm is an appropriate prayer for Christians of all ages to pray. Because the focus is not on old age. No, the focus is on the mighty acts and marvelous deeds of our Lord. The focus is on how he delivers us and rescues us by his righteousness. Have you ever been falsely accused of something? Have you ever been falsely accused of committing some crime? I never have, but I can just imagine the fear in your heart, fear inside of you that pops up when you're falsely accused of a crime. So many questions, so many things coming into your brain at that one time. Why would someone accuse me of doing something I didn't do? What do they have against me? Even if you didn't do it, you might have that thought of, what if I get arrested? What if I get thrown into jail? What will people think of me? What will happen to my family? What if somehow I am found guilty of this crime I didn't commit? Then what is going to happen? Imagine the fear inside of you if you did do it. If you did commit the crime to which you were accused. Then you're really afraid. wondering what your punishment is going to be. You might have to hire a lawyer, maybe try to find some loophole to get out of it. You're afraid. Instead, David, assuming that David is the one who wrote this psalm, is accused by his enemies in this psalm. Perhaps this psalm was written by David when his son, Adonijah, and others conspired to take the kingship from him and from his other son, Solomon. David had earlier named Solomon as his successor to the crown of Israel. But Adonijah was the oldest living son of David, and he thought he should be king. So Adonijah and some others, the conspirators, they conspired to make him the king before it could be official that Solomon could become king. They looked at David, they saw someone who was growing weak and feeble, and they thought that the coup would be successful. When Adonijah and his fellow conspirators saw that David was growing weaker and more feeble, they assumed that God had left David. They thought that God had rejected David. He's no longer protecting him. They accused David. Perhaps they thought that God had left David because of some sin he was currently stuck in. Or maybe it was a sin that he had committed in the past. And since God wasn't on his side, well, then they were free to overtake him. Now, we may not have people attacking us. We may not have people accusing us of certain things. Our children are probably not going to try to take our position. We may not have too many physical, earthly people that we would call enemies. But we all have the same spiritual enemy. The devil. That name, devil, means liar, accuser, or slanderer. Because that's what the devil does. He accuses us of sin. Time and time again in our heads, reminds us of that thing we did that one time, that secret sin that we committed that other time. He sticks the dagger in and twists it to make us feel bad, to inflict more pain and more guilt upon us. He tries to convince us that we're so horrible, we're so disgusting, that we're such miserable, pathetic sinners that God couldn't possibly forgive us, that God couldn't possibly love us because of all that horrible things that we have done or that one specific thing that no one else has ever done but you did. He wants to lead us into despair, to get us to doubt that God loves us, that God cares for us. The other name, the other devil, the other common name, Satan, means enemy or adversary. Because that's what our accuser is. He's our enemy. When David's enemies came after him, where did David turn? To his refuge. To his rock. To the Lord. And why wouldn't he? Time and time again, he was saved by that refuge and rock. When he was younger, when a lion on two separate occasions, a lion and a bear attacked his flock, God gave him the victory and the power to kill those wild animals. When he faced that war giant Goliath, it was God who gave him the victory. It was the Lord who had saved him from the hand of King Saul, who tried to kill him. It was the Lord who gave him victory after victory and battle after battle as he fought wars throughout his life. David in his old age knew that God was with him time and time again. God had guarded him and protected him, and he knew that even in his old age, nothing would change. So David wrote, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men." In the same way, just as David, we can turn to God again and again. In the Lord, we have our rock and our refuge. We have one who loves us, who promises to guard us, to protect us, to always take care of us, to defend us against all our enemies, both physical and spiritual. Our Lord has never let us down throughout our life, so why would He do so now? No matter what happens, like David, we can turn to the Lord as our refuge and our strength. As David said, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. In that portion of the psalm that I just quoted, I skipped verse 2. And in verse 2 we read, rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. The devil accuses us. The thing is, we know we're guilty. We know all the sins we have committed. We know all the horrible, disgusting things we have done. We know that we deserve condemnation. And we know that we are helpless to save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to earn our eternal life. There's nothing we can do to take away all our sins. We do deserve condemnation. The devil is exactly right. So we cry out to the Lord, for He is the only one who is able to take care of us and help us. And He rescues us from the fires of hell. Like a firefighter rushing into a burning building to save a helpless baby, so the Lord came down to this earth. The Lord suffered through the pain and agony of eternal damnation, the pain and agony of hell, so that we wouldn't have to. He delivers us from the chains of Satan to take us to heaven, where we will have a perfect life with Him forever. The Lord alone saves us. And He does this by His righteousness. Righteousness means to be perfect, to be holy, to be without sin. The Lord alone is perfect and holy. The Lord alone wasn't born into sin like we were, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. The Lord alone is without sin. No one in good conscience could ever claim that Jesus did anything wrong, could ever accuse Jesus of any sin. You may remember that when Jesus was under trial before the Sanhedrin, they had come up with a plan to tell lies about Him, that He had committed some sin. But even then, they couldn't agree. Completely without sin. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, Him who had no sin, became sin for us. He took our sins upon Himself. He suffered for the guilt, everything we have done wrong, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He took His righteousness, He took His perfection, and credited it to us. In the eyes of God, we are now perfect and holy. We are now righteous because of the Lord. It is His righteousness, not ours, that He gives to us that is credited to our account. It is His salvation, not ours, by which our sins are forgiven and we have eternal life. Our sins, they need not weigh heavily upon us. We need not fall into despair because of all the horrible things we have done. The devil's accusations, they don't stand up to the acquittal of our Lord on behalf of Christ. We can rejoice in our rock and our refuge because He is our Savior, our Deliverer, and our Rescuer. David knew this. Throughout his life, he had experienced God's love and mercy. Not just from how God saved him from physical enemies, but also his spiritual enemies. David, if you read Psalm 51, was distraught because of his sins. And he wrote that psalm after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and tried to cover up by having her husband killed. His sins weighed heavily upon him. But he knew that God also freely and fully forgave him. He knew firsthand God's love and God's grace, and he longed to experience that grace once again, just as we long for Christ's coming. So in his old age, what did David do? He sang praises to the Lord, and he told everyone about the Lord's love, to anyone who would listen. As David's years were drawing to a close, he wasn't concerned about telling people all the great things he had done. He wasn't worried about what people would think of him or what his legacy would be. His concern was telling others about the love of Christ, about singing the praises of the Almighty, about telling everyone about what he had done. He writes, I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts. O sovereign Lord, I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. It doesn't matter what station you are in life. It matters not how old you are, how many years you have left in this world, what you're capable of doing and not doing. All of us here are able to speak. Therefore, all of us are able to tell others about Christ. So let us follow the example in our psalm for this evening. Let us spend the rest of our days, no matter how many days we have left on this earth, telling others about their one and only Savior. We're only one generation away from losing the gospel. No one can come to faith without hearing the word. There's only one Savior from sin, one rock, one refuge, the Lord who rescues us and delivers us from hell by his righteousness. So let us tell the next generation of his righteousness and proclaim his salvation to all who will listen, so the Holy Spirit may work, so they may believe and be rescued and delivered and brought to eternity. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We will now gather the offering. A reminder to please sign the friendship registers at this time.